So we're reading from Madhya Lila, chapter 23, Life's Ultimate Goal. And this begins a reading of a series of verses with verse 23. This is a verse from the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, which is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Vagbir Subanto Manasa Smarantas Taha Namanto Pyanisam Natriptaha Bhakta Swanam Bhakta Shravam Netram Jala Samagram Ayur Harir Eva Samar Payanti. Vagbi, by words, Stuvanta, offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manasa, by the mind, Smarata, remembering, Tanva, by the body, Namanta, offering obeisances, Api, although, Anisam, all the time, Natriptaha, not satisfied, Bhakta, the devotees, Shravat, shedding, Netram Jala, tears from the eyes, Samagram, the whole, Ayu, life, Harihe, to Krishna, Eva, only, Samarpayanti, dedicate. Dedicate. Okay. Translation. So this is a verse from the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. With their words, they offer prayers to the Lord. With their minds, they always remember the Lord. With their bodies, they offer obeisances to the Lord. Despite all these activities, they are still not satisfied. This is the nature of pure devotees. Shedding tears from their eyes, they dedicate their whole lives to the Lord's service. Please repeat. With their words, they offer prayers to the Lord. With their minds, they always remember the Lord. With their bodies, they offer obeisances to the Lord. Despite all these activities, they are still not satisfied. This is the nature of pure devotees. Shedding tears from their eyes, they dedicate their whole lives to the Lord's service. They are the symptoms of great souls. No purport. Shall we continue or should we do this verse? What do you think? The first purport comes verse number 45. What do you think? More verses or you want to hear this one? This one? Okay. But if he takes your heart and steals that, then you have to lock him up. Put him in the jailhouse of your heart and leave him there and throw away the key. Then can't get out. That's a beautiful prayer by Bhava Mangala Thakur. He talks about that. He calls Krishna a thief. He says, but I'm going to capture this thief and put him into the jailhouse of my heart and lock him there and he can't get out anymore. And so That's his ecstasy and love of God. Okay, so these are some of the symptoms of the pure devotees. They can't get enough of any of these, and still they still can't be satisfied at the same time. They offer prayers, vandanam. They offer their mind, thinking up the Lord or remembering the Lord, smaranam. Their bodies are always looking for the opportunity to pay obeisances to the Lord. Raghunath Das Goswami used to pay obeisances 1,000 times to the Vaishnavas and 1,000 times to the Lord every day. That was his regulative principle. It says that his regulative principles were like lines etched into a stone. So if you see lines in a stone, you can't erase them. So that was the comparison between, well, the regulative principles that Raghunath Das Goswami, every day, 1,000 obeisances to the Vaishnavas and thousands of obeisances to the Lord. That was a daily feature. Sanatana Goswami used to offer thousands of obeisances every day to Govardhan Hill. So you see, obeisances is not just a ritual where we just go through a particular motion. It's a heartfelt expression of my position in relationship to the Lord. What is my position? Trinadapi Sanichena Tayori Vasa Hishnuna. One should be humbler than the grass and more tolerant than the tree, giving all respects to others and not looking for respect to oneself. Kirtaniya Sadarahi. This is the formula for developing attraction and attachment for chanting Hare Krishna. That humble attitude of seeing oneself in a very insignificant situation. The materialists, they like to present themselves based on whatever achievements they accomplish in this world. As somebody who is noteworthy, should be recognized, should be remunerated in various types of ways. So they find that becoming popular satisfies the self, at least their false ego, and then they feel life has meaning. For people who don't have anybody to worship them or don't respect them at all, they see their life as being useless. And so they sometimes get frustrated and take to intoxication or various other kinds of, what we say, personal forms of suicide. Or they just become angry and just lash out at everything, blaming everybody else for their particular situation. And that's the materialistic mind. This idea of being popular, being worshipped. And sometimes Prabhupada would say, people look for some kind of distinction, honor, and worship in different ways. But when they don't find it, they look around for someone they can connect to who will be that person who give them that attention, that worship like that. So sometimes brahmacharis, they don't get that so much. And so they get married so they can get somebody to worship them. That's one of the reasons why brahmacharis get married, so they can find some lady to say how nice you are. But that's not a reason to get married. That wears off in a little while anyway. But that is a factor that goes on in this world. And then Prabhupada goes on to say that even those who can't find anybody to, they might get a dog or some pet animal, and that way, especially a dog, because a dog likes to run around and do things for his master. And he barks at other people when they come nearby. So he feels happy if somebody likes him anyway. And he doesn't mind walking the dog with his little shovel behind, to clean up after the dog because that's his worshipful deity. Prabhupada said, you know, D-O-G and G-O-D. So the materialists, they turn that all around, and they want somebody to worship him who is an unalloyed, pure devotee of worship, and that's the dog. Dogs has pure devotion to his master, especially when he has a good master. He barks at everybody else. You know, I go out for morning walks, and I see people all the time with dogs. I must have seen about 100 different types of dogs out there. Everybody has a different kind of dog. Nobody has the same dog because that wouldn't be popular to have the same dog. Everybody has a different dog. So one time, man was walking the dog. This was just right here by the corner. And the dog, he was sniffing the ground and he saw me. And he got all excited and he started running towards me. There was no leash on him. And then he came by and he looked at me. He stopped and looked at me, and then his master came along and said, "All right, that's enough." Then he had to go. So I attract dogs. It happens a lot. People will find ways to find someone or some living entity that thinks they're important. And so this is the nature like that. But devotees are happy simply worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They find complete happiness and satisfaction in that. Sundar, are you okay? You feeling some discomfort? You want to reposition yourself where you're more comfortable? You're okay? Okay. I think your wife is watching you, making sure you're okay. Yeah, maybe you can sit near him. That's good. Yes, so, but devotees find happiness and satisfaction. In fact, they don't get enough satisfaction to worship the Lord. They find satisfaction each time they do it, but they keep wanting to do it more and more. So this is the nature of one who has become purified by devotional service. They can't stop thinking of the Lord. They can't stop thinking of ways to worship the Lord. They start thinking of ways where they can serve the Lord. So their minds are always wanting to do different things for the Lord. Or if they're a preacher, they think of different ways to expand the glories of the Lord to the conditioned souls. They're never satisfied. Never satisfied. It's not like they get to a point where they say, "Well, that's enough service." No. Because that's the nature of love, and that's the nature of bhakti. It's always increasing. They want to do more. They want to somehow or other do better whenever they're doing, and do more of different things just to serve the Lord. That's bhakti. So here it says, and despite all these activities, they're never satisfied. So that sometimes here it says they shed tears from their eyes, and they dedicate their whole life to the service of the Lord. So this is someone on the platform of bhava, at least. They may be on prema, but at least they're on the platform of bhava, because bhava means the heart has become soft. When the heart becomes soft in devotional life, then you see people cry like that, shed tears. Ladies have more softer hearts than men, so they cry more easily. Sometimes we're not sure why they're crying, but anyway. But that's their nature, because they have softer hearts. So Prabhupada used to say, he would say, "I have a mind of an English army officer and a heart of a Bengali mother." Those of you who know Bengali mothers, they're just like so emotional. Really emotional. But it's really coming from the heart. not from the mind. And so Prabhupada said, and he said that's why we should be. We should have a strong mind and a soft heart. And then strong mind and a soft heart means one can offer nice devotion to the Krishna. Because, well, the heart can become hard, soft through the process of worshipping the Lord. Then the heart starts to soften up. Krishna is called Makan Chor. Chor means thief. Makan means butter. So he likes to steal butter. But if the butter is hard, you know, you ever have hard butter and somebody gives you a piece of bread and a brick of butter and you can't spread it and it's breaking the bread, you know. So you find ways to, you know, soften it up a little. So Krishna's like that. If your heart is like hard butter, he won't steal it. But if your heart is like soft butter, oh, watch out, it's gone. He'll steal it. And you might not get it back either. So that's Krishna. So the devotees want to make their heart soft, so Krishna steals their heart. And then when Krishna steals their heart, he steals their life. And when he steals their life, then that is their happiness. So this verse is really sweet. It goes right to the essence of bhakti. Words, prayers, our minds, their bodies, all these activities offered into the fire of bhakti like that. So this is something we can practice. And sometimes devotees think, well, I have to wait till these symptoms develop before I can, well, be like that. But no, because you are like that. Every one of us has pure love for Krishna. It's in the heart. But it's covered. So there's two ways to bring it out. That is through the process of bhakti, by hearing and chanting and serving. And the other way is to practice being in that mood that you want to develop. So practicing, usually offering beautiful words to the Lord, practicing offering beautiful, even if you don't feel it from your heart still, it's a recommended activity. Remember the Lord. Prabhupada said, any time you can put the Lord in your mind and you can think of him with love, at any time. We see the deity every day, the beautiful form of the Lord. We can place Lord Chaitanya or Radha Krishna or any one of the forms of the Lord in the mind and just think of the Lord with love, with affection. That's bhakti. And if by practicing that, you will start feeling like that. Your heart will start to express its natural love for the Lord. So these are recommended ways to awaken that pure bhakti which is there in the heart of all living entities. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, Saru Gabonai, Sravanadi Siddhi Chitte, Kori E Udoi, in the hearts of all living entities. That even means that even that little ant who's walking around on the floor who doesn't know who he is, all he knows is where the sugar is. That's all he thinks about. But he also has pure love for Krishna. But because he's in that body, he can't understand it. So that pure love is there in all living entities. But in the human form of life, we can access that love by using our intelligence to direct that love towards Krishna. We don't have to wait until it manifests. In fact, it may not manifest if we wait, but if we practice it and at the same time purify our life through hearing and chanting, then these feelings of natural love come out. And they do come out sometimes. Sometimes they come out in kirtan, or sometimes we hear something or read something and we become inspired and we feel that loving relationship with Krishna. So Krishna is giving us just a little bit of that drop of unlimited love which is in our heart. And that's his mercy. That's his mercy. And the whole goal of life is love. Because once love is there, then everything is there. When love is not there, whatever you have in life really just becomes, what we say, things. They're just there. We might use them, we might need them, but they don't really give us much. But what it says, Raghunath Das Goswami, he also, he shows the example that he's expressing this mood of separation and love for the Lord, and he's looking at everything, and he's just feeling unhappy. He sees that Govardhan Hill is just like a big mountain, that's all. All he can see, all around him, is separation from the Lord. And everything he sees reminds him in the Lord, but at the same time that object has no meaning to him. In other words, he can't feel any happiness in the thing. Just like if you love someone and you're close to them and then you lose them, then the things that were important in your life are not as so important anymore. Because that loss of love is something that brings a void in your life. So you look at your car, you look at your whatever you have, and you think, you don't feel any, it's like, and there's no meaning to it anymore. In other words, everything else loses its meaning in life when love is lost. But everything has its meaning in life. Even the inanimate things have meaning in life when love is there. When love is there. So here, this is what the verse is really talking about, is that these are the symptoms of great souls who are actually expressing their love for the Lord, and they can't stop expressing it. It's like they never get satisfied. That's why sometimes they don't eat, because they think it just takes time away from serving the Lord. They don't sleep, or at least they sleep very little. Why? Because it takes time away from the Lord service. They reduce all these things, not thinking about reducing it, they just forget about it. They forget to eat. They forget to sleep. They forget to do the things that they... Lord Chaitanya was in that ecstasy of love. He would have to be reminded, oh, it's time for your noon bath. You have to take your bath before lunch. And Lord Chaitanya would forget sometimes. Or he would forget a lot of things in ecstasy of love of God. So these are symptoms of what happens when one starts to taste that happiness. Now this is what this verse is saying. So by associating with these persons who have these qualities, then that is our good fortune. Then we can also develop these qualities faster by associating with people who have love. Jai Sri Panchatattva Ki Jai. Very simple, but very, very elegant at the same time. Yeah? You like? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a story about a devotee in America. He has his own temple. He started his own temple. Now it's an official ISKCON temple. So he's married, he has a family. And he's been running this temple for over 30 years now, 35 years at least. And so he has deities, he has Gornatai, he has Lakshmi Nisringa, small. And he also has big Jagannath deities and other smaller little deities there on the altar. So someone, one of the congregational members, made an outfit for his deities of Gornatai and Jagannath. So they gave it to him and said, this is for your deities. So he looked at him. He looked at it and he said, I don't like it. He didn't like the outfit. He said, this is not so nice. So he said, but they offered it, so I'll put it on. I'll put it on the deities. So him and his wife, they dressed the deities. And after, when they were looking at the deities with this outfit on that he didn't like, he thought, wow, that's really nice. This is really beautiful. The point was, anything in relationship to the Lord becomes beautiful. So when you see something not connected to the Lord, it doesn't have as much attraction. When something is connected to the Lord, it has much attraction. So you see, when that, even a simple, very kind of plain-looking outfit, when you put it on the Lord, it looks so beautiful. It's the Lord that makes it beautiful. Like that. Even these flowers look better when they're in, like that. So this is Krishna consciousness, that bring in the Lord more and more and life becomes wonderful. People in this material world are always trying to improve their life, but they're looking in the wrong place. They're always trying to do something different, get something more, or just be something like that. But the devotee knows it's the same Lord. He doesn't change. But he gets better and better. Why? Because I get better and better. The Lord is the same. How we perceive the Lord is due to our consciousness. So as our consciousness increases, so does the Lord. He's the same, but our perception of our consciousness, we feel more attraction to him. There's a little saying I remember when I was growing up as a kid. One kid says to his father, "Father, as a father, every day you're getting smarter and smarter." He's growing up, so now he's starting to realize how intelligent his father is. When he's small, he can't see it. So as we grow in our Krishna consciousness, the beauty of the Lord, the presence of the Lord becomes more and more wonderful, like that. So here's the formula. Offer prayers to the Lord. What's the best prayer to the Lord? And Prabhupada, there is different types of prayers. There's glorification of the Lord's qualities and pastimes, his characteristics. And there's the prayer of our individual. What is our individual prayer? Prabhupada taught us that. My dear Lord, how can I serve? That's the best prayer. Prabhupada used to say, "I never asked my spiritual master hardly any questions, but I did ask him one question many times, how can I serve? And he gave me the same answer." Take this Krishna consciousness to the Western world. Yeah, so that's the best prayer that we can offer for ourselves. And as we find our being inspired by the Lord in different ways, we can glorify his qualities and pastimes like that. It says that's what darshan actually means. Darshan means to think of the Lord's qualities as you're taking darshan of the Lord and keep them in your mind and glorify them and offer them back to the Lord in prayer. Like you say, "My dear Lord, you are dressed so nicely today. So you are the best dresser." Sometimes the devotees think, "Well, I dress the Lord." Pujari, you should forget about that. That the Lord is telling you which necklace to put on and what clothes he wants to wear today. He's telling you. If you don't believe it, I'll tell you a story. And this story it's by one Jagannath deity in near Mayapur. It's in Raipur, the beautiful deities near Navadvip, near or Mayapur, near there. Those big Jagannath deities. So one devotee, he was dressing Jagannath, and he put on one necklace. And then he put on the second necklace, put on the third necklace, and he was putting on the fourth necklace. When he put on the fourth necklace, it fell off. So he picked it up and put it on again, and it fell off again. And he was thinking, what is this? Why is it falling? So again, he picked it up, and he's about to put it on it again, and he hears a voice, "Don't you understand? I don't want that." You can ask the devotees in Mayapur about that. So that Jagannath deity is really personal. He speaks to the devotees a lot. So yeah, he said, "Don't you understand? I don't want that." So he's actually telling us in our hearts what to put on like that. Oh yeah, so that's, and the Lord is very personal. Okay, so these are some beautiful, this is a beautiful, beautiful verse from the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. It's a very little known scripture, but everyone should read Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. It is a must, especially now. Why? Because it contains 100 pages and it has two sections. The pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj and the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj. That's all. That's the whole scripture. And in those stories, you find a lot of details that are not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, in the life of Prahlad Maharaj and the life of Dhruva Maharaj. So I found a copy, and I read the whole section about Prahlad Maharaj and found many interesting points that were just additions to what the Bhagavatam was already saying, and also different parts of the pastime that's not mentioned. So it's a wonderful scripture, Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. So this verse is coming from that scripture. I don't know the author, some great saint. I can't remember the author, though. Okay, so we can stop here, see if there's any questions. Comments? Yes, Gopal.
Who wrote this Hari Bhakti Sudodaya? Who is the author?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have a copy in my library, but my library is in Croatia. When I go to Croatia, I'll bring the book back. It's just a green covered hardback book, which is about this thick. And it's 100 pages. 50 pages for Dhruva Maharaj, 50 pages for Prahlad. I'm trying to think who the author is. It's not one of the Goswamis, that's for sure. But I'll find out for sure. And what I'll do, if you come maybe soon, I'll check my contact in Croatia and ask him to look in my library and find the author. So if I can find it, maybe within... Yeah, and you can also find it that way too. You can do a search and find out the author like that. Yeah. It's worth reading. There's one pastime, I'll tell you, that's not in the Bhakti, it's not in Srimad Bhagavatam with Prahlad, where Hiranyakashipu, in the process of trying to kill his son Prahlad, he hires these brahmanas, which are tantric brahmanas, and he says, "Put spells on him and destroy him with these spells." So they're chanting all these evil mantras that are meant to destroy Prahlad. And Prahlad's just sitting there. He's just meditating on the Lord in the heart. And so it's not working. But what happens is that when you offer a curse to someone, If that curse is, if that person is more powerful than you, that curse comes back to you. Because it has to go somewhere. So if it doesn't go to the victim is powerful enough to ward off the curse, then it goes back to the person who throws the curse. That's the danger of cursing people. So now, these mantras, these evil tantras, are going back to the brahmanas. And they're feeling really great suffering. So they start praying to Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad, Prahlad, please save us. You know, they're trying to kill Prahlad, but now they're dying. So now they're asking Prahlad to save him. So Prahlad said, all right. So he does. And he by his own power, he counteracts the mantras, and they're free. That's his compassion. He didn't want to see them die because of their evil. So that's a nice pastime. You can find that in this scripture. And there's many, many other nice pastimes like that. Okay, any other comments or questions? Yes. Please tell me your name again.
Sadbuja.
Yes, yeah, Sadbuja, okay.
So how I understand, there is a two separate, little separate process of provoke proper devotional feelings, chanting and reading, remembering, and thinking of Krishna. Can you explain a little more about that? Because I think I didn't understand it properly. What's mean two different, two separate processes?
Thinking about Krishna? And
yeah.
Well, thinking of Krishna is smaranam, remembering Krishna. So, what is the question again?
Question is, you was explaining that if we just simply in any time think about Krishna and try to provoke that feelings of devotion with thinking, that is also part of practice, isn't it?
That's bhakti, yeah.
Yeah.
It's showing your love for Krishna in the form of smaranam. Smaranam is one of the nine processes of bhakti. Yeah, so anyone can do that at any time. To keep that image in your mind, well, that depends on the strength of your bhakti. But the more you have love, the easier it is. The more natural it is. But still, you should practice it.
Yes, I like it. But is that similar? Like when we start to chant Hare Krishna and we don't have taste, we should continue and continue and continue. Is that like the same with thinking about Krishna, and if we don't have taste, try again and again to think with some affection and feelings, and something will happen, or something like that.
Krishna will see, oh, this person is trying to think of me. So Krishna will help you then. If you give up, then he can't help you. But if you keep trying, yeah. That's the nature of devotional life. It's practicing what you want to be good at over and over, yeah. Yeah.
And just a little addition, it is not mechanical process, isn't it?
It's not
to
what?
Think about Krishna. It is not. It can. We cannot do it mechanically. We need some consciousness. We need some mercy for that also. We cannot. It looks simply, but it is not mechanical. Yeah?
It's not what?
Mechanical process by.
You mean a mechanical? Yeah, mechanical. Well, it starts off to being mechanical, but it ends up in something else. Just like there's Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. So Vaidhi Bhakti is a little mechanical. Well, I do it because I'm supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. I do it. And this is the beginning. So when we start off, this we do things because we are following the instructions, like that. So, well, once we start following instruction and doing things, then we start to like what we're doing. And then it becomes less mechanical and more natural. Yeah. So don't be afraid to be mechanical when there's nothing there. Because you're being mechanical for the right thing. Okay, thank you. Anything else? Okay, we can stop here. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki.